Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Team Slayer.
And Josh Brown.
That doesn't exist anymore. Have you played Halo Infinite? Those playlists don't...
The correct thing is, we've got the ball. The team's got the ball. Just over and over and over again.
No, it's the bloody power battery thing. What are they called? Those little juice boys. You just got to grab them the whole time, and no one else is grabbing them, because they all want to play... deathmatch, and you want to play the objective.
The thing is, we need to do... Ben Roy's fresh from a trip to the public shop, so he's very annoyed. He's had a few run-ins with the local populace, and he's very charged up, which is fine for certain things. But we're going to do a retrospective the last sort of 20-odd years of Xbox, because it is their 20th anniversary. And it is worth talking about Halo as well, because obviously that's been a massive tentpole, massive pillar of the Xbox brand. But we're going to go through stuff kind of vaguely in order. I feel like the last 20 years have obviously been pretty seismic in our lives as gamers and stuff, and most of us... Sorry, all three of us have been with Xbox since the beginning, I think. I think both of you guys had the original Xbox, yeah. And so, we've been there since the very beginning. So I kind of want to do an open question and we'll go from there. But, and it, this is a very fairy, airy, fairy question. But what does Xbox mean to you, Josh Brown?
Oh my God. What does Xbox mean to me? That is
how
a
is it
big,
here? How is it striking?
Big question. Xbox to me, for the longest time, kind of, it made me realize that I was going to love gaming forever. And what very I mean nice. By that is... when I was younger, all I ever knew was PlayStation. I had the PlayStation 1 straight into the PlayStation 2. Like, those were my first ever games consoles. And, you know, after that, when I was getting a little bit older, when I was becoming a teenager and what have you, I kind of wondered, like you do with a lot of stuff that you love as a kid, maybe this is going to be a phase. Maybe this is going to be a thing that I really enjoyed when I was younger, but I'm not going to take into adulthood. And then I got the Xbox original, and then I got the Xbox 360 in particular, and that's kind of what cemented it as a lifelong thing for me when I realized, oh no, this is going to be something I adore forever. I'm making life memories on these machines. And Microsoft's output, both from their hardware perspective and their first-party software perspective, with the likes of Gears, with the likes of Halo, all of that good stuff, just cemented gaming as a thing for me beyond a childhood interest into something, like I said, I would take into a career, into what I would take into my adulthood.
That's insane that the PlayStation didn't do that for you. I'm going to bring stuff back around, because like I went Master System to Mega Drive, yes. Game Boys underneath, and then went to the Xbox like alongside that stuff, and the PS2 and stuff as well. But to bring more people in, Ben Roy, thoughts on what Xbox means to you?
It's weird because there's literally different eras of it, as there was consoles where I never owned the original. I had two friends that had it, so I would play all the Halos at theirs, and until the 360 came out when I got that. But like for me, I met like a group of friends on 360 when we were shouting at people on like Gears 2 multiplayer, and ended up living with a few of those lads.
That's cool.
For many years in London, and it was good because the rent was cheaper and it just helped me get my start in life. So I'm gonna say the Xbox helped me, you know, get to where I am now.
The thing is that I do want to mention, because it's kind of a through line of this stuff. It's like, it's meaningful memories. It's like social stuff. Like Xbox for me, obviously there was Xbox Live. We're going to get to that in a bit. But my earliest memory of Xbox is literally the original Halo. It's silent cartographer. It's being given one of the big Duke controllers by my friend Steve, and both of us doing split screen gameplay all through all of Halo's campaign. But silent cartographer was the first thing I got given back in 2000, 2001, whatever it was. And just that's always been the level that stuck with me. And I know that even now Halo Infinite models its entire look on that one level. Like, it almost is that one level blown out into like a whole map. But it's that whole sharing aspect of it. It's the, it is the co-op stuff. It is the split screen multiplayer stuff. I think for a lot of people, Halo was their goldeneye if you didn't play it on N64. And so the first time that Halo went online, I mean, I'm going to talk about Halo a lot. There's going to be a lot of crisscross stuff in terms of like topics and stuff. But for me, obviously, Xbox is Halo. It's the thing I associate with it the most. And even though the original Halo, the PC version was online, when Halo 2 went online and I first got Xbox Live, I also made like a bunch of friends that were online from down south in the UK. We'd meet up every single night after school and just play Halo 2 for hours and hours and hours. That thing, that feeling is the thing that I associate with the earliest days of Xbox.
Could I confess something to you two fellas and
never played Halo
2?
I knew it!
I have played Halo 2. Maybe. No, but when I had the original Xbox and I thought it was like the best machine ever, I was going to my parents like, look at these graphics. They were like, what are graphics? I didn't actually own the original Halo or Halo 2 on that machine. I play them. On the original Xbox, I was getting my kicks from Mercenaries 2 and backyard wrestling and stuff like that. It was all of this weird stuff.
When did you play Halo 1 and 2 then?
Halo 1 and 2 was something I still played at the time, but it was something I played around friends. It was nothing owned personally. I think a friend in primary school, I guess I would have been in at the time, like late primary school, gave me Halo 2 to play over a weekend. So I played the campaign, but it was never kind of, it wasn't a staple for me of, you know, multiplayer around my house or anything like that. For me, it was backyard wrestling, like I say, really... strange, considering, you know, considering that the Xbox was sold to me on those weird third-party games, is kind of, I guess, a testament to how interesting that machine was if you were lucky enough to own it, I guess, because a lot of people just kind of disregarded that first Xbox.
It was also the fact that, you know, it had the first, like, hard drive. It had, like, storage capacity. The way that it booted up, it felt like a Microsoft product in many ways, and I feel like it became lovable by the time the 360 hit, but that initial feel, it was just so chunky, and it was this big thing.
Yes.
PS2 was running Riot anyway. It was all over.
Well, you mentioned like the controllers and having those two extra buttons. I think they were like the black and white buttons.
Yeah.
Like playing Enter the Matrix with the black and white buttons was is something that I'm going to remember forever. Like
playing Mad Dash Racing, mate. Carry on.
It was kind of you know, a machine that opened my eyes, because while I had played, you know, some Nintendo stuff, I could never really gel with their controllers, could never really gel with their games. And like I said, you know, having only really had PlayStations myself, this was kind of a reminder of, oh, you can do things that are similar. You're going to have like the same experiences when it comes to third parties, but you can have these idiosyncrasies. You can have like the benefits of a hard drive, like you said, you can have this kind of weird control scheme. And I hadn't experienced that before, so I thought that was very neat.
Mr. Benroy, thoughts on the Duke?
I remember my sister not being able to actually hold it. That was quite funny, because she would have been like four,
it was like
or
a dinner
five
plate
at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the black and white buttons are just dumb. I'm glad they got rid of them, because I think they only really, I only remember them working well with Halo because they shoved the torch on one of them and something else on the other. But yeah, the Duke was a big lad when I know that I at one point in rage with my mum's partner at the time broke DualShock 2, I think they're called, on the PS2, because he kept dying in Conflict Desert Storm, and you try and do that on the Xbox, and you break your own wrist because you physically can't do anything, because they're made out of some sort of like I think what it was is because the Xbox brand was made out of what's his old name, what's our big Microsoft name again, I can't remember his name now,
which one,
the head of Windows, I'm forgetting his name.
Mr. Windows? Yeah, I don't know.
Bill Gates, maybe.
Bill Gates. Big Bill. big Billy Gates. I think what he wanted is...
I couldn't think of that either. I was just like, yeah, someone
I
in there.
I think he went a club nearby, Ray so Allen. If he ever came across anyone at Sony, he could knock him out, as he tried to do with the Xbox. But yeah, they were just weapons more than anything. And I think I've actually, as a young person, we did use them to, you know...
That's the thing, that those were the things that sort of distinguished it and separated it from just how, I mean, obviously the PS2 to this day is the most popular best-selling console of all time, but there was a feel to that original Xbox that I still think does separate it in like a fun, chunky kind of way. But it was the 360 that absolutely everything went into a different gear. I think that's also because Sony dropped the ball so much on the PS3, but yeah.
it also never fit in anyone's entertainment system. I remember, I always remember that the Xbox would be on someone's floor somewhere and just like becoming part of the family, or like be bigger than my cat and sort of things like that. Just just weird memories of an Xbox being around, and like
whereas the PS at the dinner table.
Yeah, the PS2 didn't have a hard drive, but always had that handy bit in the back you could hide stuff from your parents. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the expansion slot they did nothing with. There's like one modem for it. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, the original Xbox, I don't know for you guys if like franchises come to the fore as well. I remember playing the original Fable. I absolutely loved the first Fable. And obviously Fable 2 as well. I think it's one of the best RPGs ever made. There's so much charm to that game. I get the way that it was mismarketed and everything, but I didn't have that because I was young enough to just go into the first Fable and be like, this is lovely. But obviously I'm kind of building to a pivot into the 360. Is there anything else for the original Xbox that stands out to you guys?
Well, I mean, with the original Xbox was all the Splinter Cell games, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, playing Splinter Cell and stuff.
Funnily enough, I remember going to get that after school. Did you do that thing when you were, this is proper old man remembers video games, but when you used to drive and get something after after school and you try to read the instruction manual as you go past the streetlights? That was the that was me coming home getting Splinter Cell back when Splinter Cell was against Metal Gear Solid.
I think my origin story might have been comparing the PlayStation 2 and Xbox versions of one of the Spider-Man tie-in games. Like, good. Just seeing the many differences games. And stuff. One of the movie games. Maybe it was Spider-Man 2. It might have even been like the original Tobey Maguire one, but it was definitely one of them. I remember having a lot of fun being like, right, are there any differences?
I remember having to like
side by side
convince myself that the PS2 version was better because I couldn't get an Xbox initially. And it was just like that whole thing of, oh, the Xbox version's got individual finger movement on certain characters, but oh, we don't need that. Oh, that's stupid.
It was laughing at my friend because they didn't have a PS2 and I could play things like the SmackDown games. They had to play the Raw game because they had Raw games.
You play Raw. Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. And there's, because I didn't own the Xbox, so I actually waited for PS2 Splinter Cell to play Splinter Cell. And then there's me pretending, like, oh, it's the better version, when obviously it was the far inferior version. And just also weird ones like, it's around the time I had a really underpowered PC, so I could play things like Jedi Outcast on the Xbox or on the PC, and Return to Castle Wolfenstein, which came around everything at that point as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to throw one very other quick old man thing in that makes me feel warm. Is, remember when you would ask your like parent or someone to bring home a game on their way back because something was out, and then they'd bring back some McDonald's as well. They'd bring back some fast food as well. Here's the new game, and it's also got some fries next to it. Raw came with French fries for me, which made that game exponentially better.
Cherish those memories, Scott, because my dad, my old man, my father, I used to ask him for that stuff. He wouldn't do that. He would just go out and then not come back with it. I'd be like, oh, cheers, thanks. I've been waiting all night on the off chance you might do it. No, raw for me. Thank you.
I've got another one there. It's better than mine. Mine just never came back.
That is very true.
But I'm sure he enjoyed his fries. As long as he kept it raw away from you, he's probably all right.
I have two games I want to shout out before we move on, though, and that is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, and one more that I've forgotten that I just had up. I've completely forgotten it. Oh, Ninja Gaiden Black. Ninja Gaiden Black was another one. Those two games were pivotal to old JB's upbringing, I'll tell you that.
Did you finish Ninja Gaiden back in the day? Did you struggle a bit with that?
No, I finish it. I sucked at it, but I still played it over and over again, trying to get past through those first few levels and failing miserably.
I got to the airship level, which for child me, thought that was like a lifetime achievement. Realized it's like the third level. Just sort of got back there in about... for half an hour when I went back to it. But not sure. Yeah, we should pivot into the 360 because this is when the Xbox brand like massively took off. Like I said, I think it's because the PS3 fell so much and was such a laughingstock at the time. But at the same time, you know, you had like the Blades interface for the 360. You had Xbox Live coming into its own. You had the Xbox Live Arcade stuff was taken off. There was all the stuff with, you know, mandatory demos on Xbox. So even if something was coming out on PS3 as well, you could go across to Xbox and actually play it early. All the arcade stuff had mandatory demos, which was really helpful. And then they launched all the indie stuff. Like, they eventually would become the likes of Super Meat Boy and things like that, that would get their start on Xbox Live. So I think as much as like Xbox stumbled across the 2010s, like 2013 onwards, they made massive seismic changes to the way the industry works. And it's only in times like this when you have these conversations that you realize just how much they brought to the table. And I feel like they never really get their due. But I mean, when you talk about 360, for you guys, what comes to mind for that? Because I've got more old man stories. But
Crackdown and Gears of War, both of them. And also... Fantasy Star Online.
I never played Fantasy Star. I've heard good things.
Shouting at French people in Fantasy Star Online because we were arguing about something and we both couldn't understand each other. But I remember there being in lobbies with lots of French people and my friends just like, no, you need to do this. And it was a fun time and got me into the world of I'm going to be shouting at people on this console for the next rest of the generation. But well, Gears and Crackdown.
Yeah, that was the thing, playing Gears Online, playing Splinter Cell Pandora Tomorrow Online. Like I said, taking Halo Online was a big deal. Earliest memories of Xbox Live, JB?
Xbox Live, oh my God. Like, Xbox Live was a thing that I pined over for years and years because we had a crappy internet dial-up system that just couldn't handle any kind of, like, you know, online multiplayer at all. So I begged my parents for years to try and get Xbox Live so I could play Call of Duty 4. Like, Call of Duty 4 was like the thing between like my friends. I would spend hours and hours over my friend's house trying to play this, and that was kind of one of the most revolutionary things in gaming for me, just being able to take what I loved playing with my brother and my friends kind of locally and blow that out to a proper big online space.
Oh, so you didn't do online stuff until the 360 era? You didn't dabble before?
No, that? I didn't dabble, you know? We just didn't have the infrastructure. Like, none of my friends did either with it. So I was local until the 360 came out, and then that was just a total, total game changer for me. And, you know, Call of Duty 4, Gears 1 and 2. I actually didn't play much Halo Online until a little bit later because I was so in the world of those other two series. And yeah, like, just getting online. I can remember the day that I actually got it because I was at my cousin's house and I walked all the way home during the day. I got a text from my dad or something saying, like, the broadband's been installed, you can get it. And I remember, like, walking home, like a 50-minute walk, like, through, like, back roads and woods. Something I probably shouldn't have been doing, you know, quite dangerous. But then I got home to the glory of Call of Duty 4 being there, you know, broadband installed, Xbox Live up, being able to make your profile, being able to make your Xbox avatar, add all your friends and stuff. It was just, it was a glorious, glorious time, man. See, and I think, you know, sorry, just to add an addendum, you know, PlayStation tried to come in and sweep some of that allure away by making their online free with the PlayStation 3, obviously. But there was just something about knowing all your friends are on Xbox, having that infrastructure there and trusting it, because the Xbox Live is incredibly solid and the PlayStation Network at the time was incredibly flimsy, and just being like, right, this is the home of online gaming, and it was for so long.
That was when they were playing catch up, like Sony, when it was just sort of like, oh, there's achievements, okay, we should do trophies. Like, oh, there's Xbox Live, okay, God, we should do PlayStation Network. Like, it was just, that was when Xbox were absolutely flying. Like, the 360 period is like the best time in Xbox history. Benroy, thoughts on this period in your life?
The PS3 infrastructure was so bad that we played Killzone 2 online, but used 360 for the party chat because it's just like, because they had no sort of...
the same thing, actually, yeah.
We did that on a few games, but they had no infrastructure for that at all, the few times that we rocked the PS3 up. But yeah, just... I got the 360 like a year later, whenever Gears came out, the year later. So I got it with Gears and Crackdown. And I would play Fantasy Star at a friend's, as I said. But it was just Gears and Crackdown. I mean, like, the first game getting and just going through Gears and it did feel like a weird new jump, and just being able to play. And smartphones weren't really a thing.
No.
So like having the ability to talk to your friends about using the home phone and things like that, and having to use just text chat and weird other gimmicks. It was all sort of like the world was coming to life. And I specifically remember having Call of Duty 4, buying that from a Virgin Megastores, and playing it for a bit and then not being that into it. But then by the time Modern Warfare 2 came around, we remember we had almost this like seance for Gears 2. Oh, we're gonna send it off now, like in the Viking funeral as it goes over the waves. But we did go back to Gears 2, but I remember it being a thing where so many times midnight launches were over the Modern Warfare 2, or we got ODST and we sat there and played it in one entire sitting, or other things like Halo 3, getting them all, or like Gears 3, getting them all at this sort of time, and that being I don't know, we're going to play from 8 till 3 or 4 and then just go through to the next day. And that was my life for a while.
I did all of Gears 3 in one sitting. Like, that was just, that was a huge deal. Halo 3, I don't know if you guys, if Halo 3 meant as much to you guys on the launch as it did to me, but I remember every beat of, like, the build to when that game came out, the different versions that came out. You could get that version with the little tiny helmet, but we didn't know it was going to be tiny until the launch day. But you could also get that Steelbook version, and everyone was, like, trying to price up, oh, mum, can you lend me some money so I can get this, or I'm going to go do whatever. And I just, Halo 3's launch was like seismic, same with Gears 3 to be honest, and I feel like it like those were like life events. Like Halo 3 was like a life event, and I remember like that, all the stories from America that it had shut down Times Square so they could put Halo adverts everywhere, and it's just, they've never hit that high again. I hope they do with, maybe it'll have to be a new IP at this point, but that was an insane time.
I'll tell you why Halo 3 didn't resonate with me in that way, Scott, and that's because I was obviously just a little bit younger than you, but I think at that time, it's kind of alludes to what something Ben Roy said previously, you know, at that time, you're only getting a certain amount of video games. And for me, I was into Call of Duty. So you were in that kind of mindset when you're going online, you're talking to other people about Call of Duty, and their whole thing is Halo sucks. You know, it's like a war between these different franchises. And when you're young and you're kind of that age and you don't have access to all of the games, you kind of get involved in that stuff. Yeah, you're like, oh yeah, Halo does suck. Like, I'm a Call of Duty person. This is going to define my identity for a little bit. And that kind of sucks because then it robbed me of enjoying multiple things. It turns out you can enjoy more than one thing at a time. So I didn't get to Halo 3 until a little bit later because I was just kind of in that mindset. But sorry, not to drag this on again, but I really like what Ben Roy said about the 360 kind of bringing the world to life in a little way, like the real world to life through party chat, through like having these, you know, appointments with your friends that you would keyboard, spend 8 hours a day.
You could click onto the controller.
You could.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Click the keyboard. Beautiful. And you can talk in that way. And that was the exact same for me, man. Like between going on MSN or something to instant message with your friends for the first time, between that and, you know, being on online, having like that social engagement outside of the real life, because obviously real life is great, but you don't get to, you know, blow up a bunch of buildings on bad company too in the real life.
You can't
do that either. It was just a really great time to spend your formative years on that platform. And like you both have mentioned, you know, there are so many life events that are linked to that platform, that are linked to Microsoft games, whether it's Crackdown, whether it's Halo, whether it's Gears of War, that, you know, you'll just sort of cherish forever. And we can look back at them now as, you know, old men in the gaming world, I suppose we would be classed as, and be like, that was a good time. That was great. I learned so much and have so many fun memories.
Yeah,
it was great.
The groups of friends that you had as well, that like crystallized that point in time because you got to like carry them over into the digital space. Yeah.
And also, I've used this qualifier before, but it really was the Attitude Era, and where anything was, anything would go. The words I heard in those years.
Yeah.
The messages you would receive and all that sort of, I think that's a bit, for me, that's a point that's going to always be ingrained as well. Like you'd be, and sometimes some games you weren't in party chat, you would be in those death lobbies and you would experience certain things coming out the TV. And it was, and this console came with a headset as well. And I had the keyboard and I had that to write out things in one of the SmackDown versus Raw games to write my own like story mode. And I remember fighting someone online for the first time in a SmackDown versus Raw and all that sort of weird stuff that just sort of just transcended like game. Gaming became something different. It became a thing that was very much more social for me when I felt like it was more of a, that it comes from a time when I felt like it was more of a reclusive thing. Mm-hmm. And you would be like, oh, I've got to make sure I've got to go have time to go out and play with the friends outside. And as you say, like when you're younger and you don't really have an income, that would be your time, and you could really you could do whatever you wanted because you were in games, and you could you could play Crackdown with people, you could do this, you could do that. And I guess it just hit at the right time, and I'm just in between you two, but like how it hit, and it just, yeah, I had all my school friends on 360. I still have some of them. They got dead accounts now because half of them don't use them anymore, but just things like that. And it was a time, and like at one point we had clan tags as well. I was SA Legend Killer. We don't know what the SA stand for, but there was loads of SAs.
Sounds cool though, didn't it?
And yeah, it was like at one point it was like scary ants that someone just made up, but just all these sort of weird things. But yeah, I'm gonna hand it over to someone else. And also I paid to change my name later on because the thing is Legend Killer forever.
You are Legend Killer forever, but I think that thing though of like those early, that time when it shifted from like local multiplayer to online multiplayer, it's like obviously it's the norm now, but I don't know if you guys had the same feeling. I remember it feeling weird to game online, that this was like a gimmick, it was like something that we could do that was an extension of the local multiplayer stuff. And then when it became the case on the early 2010s where like, you know, everything had an online multiplayer mode. I remember when The Darkness got a multiplayer mode and it was online. Yeah. And just thinking like, what the living, why does this have it? And it was like, in all the reviews, it was like, well, you know, it has to be in there. And that sort of pivot to online multiplayer, online, you know, files, like sharing between accounts and everything, that was the big shift. And I feel like obviously that's the norm now, but it was something that Xbox very much kicked into motion.
I was going to jump in. I just jumped in far too quickly. I'm so sorry to everyone for being a bad potter. But like, there used to be a point where it would be appointments and I would have friends over and their mums would come pick them up afterwards after we played a big session of Time Splitters 3 or with some SmackDown. So Here Comes the Pain actually back then, and some ham and cheese toasties, and you'd burn yourself, you'd be killing people and all that sort of thing. And then you come to the 360 and it never happened again, because it's the point, because I can just invite you to a party chat and we can play there. It was Xbox changed how I socialized in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah, I would totally back that. Did either of you guys play 1v100? Back in the late 2000s. I remember getting all my friends into my bedroom and be like, we're going to win the money, lads. We're going to win the money. We're going to go all the way. We're going to win whatever it was, like £100 or something. And I was like, between all of us, surely we'll win this competition. And then waiting, 45 minutes to get your shot on the fake game show, and then going out after about 3 questions. But
just beautiful. There's another weird hesitation. Like, do you remember buying your first game online? Like, for ages, yes. It was like, oh, I don't know if I should buy a game on Xbox. Like,
I had to ring my mum, and because it was her account at the time when I first got the 360, because my mum just said, I forget now why she set it up and not me, but I had to ring her, she was on like a night out, and I had to be like, can I buy Worms on Xbox Live Arcade? Because I really want to play, it was Worms 2, and she was like, yeah, it's fine. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever, that I could just get the game right there and then, and then because it was Worms, it downloaded really, really fast.
I remember having to explain to my old man what like the points system was, you know.
God,
you
yeah.
couldn't just, you, like you, eventually you could, but initially you had to buy like the Microsoft points so you could buy the games and stuff. And I was like, right, trust me, if you give me your credit card, I will use that money to buy some points to buy a video game. And he just couldn't understand. So I'm so pleased they finally changed that, so it would take less convincing, because he just thought I was wasting money on like a scam or something.
My dad was terrified of
DLC.
Yeah, there was so, like, the exchange rate was terrible as well, but, like, my dad was terrified of Xbox Live. He was like, well, how do you know they're not next door? How do you know they're not down the street? How do you know they're not, like, they're going to come to your door and know exactly where you are? And it's like, because I'm not sharing that information, Dad.
But, it's like, sorry, yeah. Mr. Tilford, I don't think Bill Gates is next door siphoning off this money.
Swinging a duke, just waiting to get you.
Like an axe throw. One last thing I was going to ask for 360, which ironically is the first thing I should have asked, which is which version of the console did you guys get? Did you get the core or the premium, or what could you afford? Because I had to take everything, every other game I owned, and I went down to Game Station at the time, big literal stack of games. It was a big bin bag full of games, everything I owned. I put them all on the counter and I said, I really want an Xbox 360. And the guy totted them all up, a guy called Warwick, who had become a friend over time. And he totted them all up and he went, you can't afford the premium one, but I can get you the Xbox core and I can get you one copy of Crackdown, but you'll have to buy everything else separately. And young me just went, it's fine. I've taken all day you bringing this stuff down here? Just give me the Xbox. And then I went on to spend, what, £120 on the hard drive? And everything else had to be added on after that. So that's my earliest Xbox 360 buying memory.
Similar story in a classic Christmas muck-up, I think you could call it. I might have mentioned this before, actually, but when I got the Xbox 360, it was a year, maybe even two years after it actually came out, when it finally went down in price a little bit, and I got like the core version. But obviously, my parents had no idea what they were really getting me. I just asked for an Xbox 360, so they got me the Xbox core version. I was like, this is amazing. Had Prey and Tomb Raider Legend at launch, which I really loved. But the issue was, because we just got the original Xbox, I was saying to them, like, oh, no need to worry about getting a memory card. These things have hard drives, don't you know? The original Xbox has a hard drive in it, so the next one will obviously be the same. And then you get the core version, and it doesn't. And I didn't ask for a memory card, and I had to play the opening to Tomb Raider Legend over and over and over and over again until I could get a memory card a few days later.
I was doing that with Crackdown every night for the first week as well. Did you guys have, Benro, you can come in with your early 360 buying thing as well, but did you guys have the faceplates? Because I had an Assassin's Creed faceplate, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
I didn't have any of those.
Missed out on that.
I also had the core, because bless my mom, I remember getting my Xbox the year after it came out, and I lost the war to get the PlayStation for us. I like PlayStation, and it was like, she was like, it's like almost £200 more, mate, you're not getting it. I was like, damn it. And then so I had the core one, and that I eventually bought all the bits. I got the hard drive, I got the I ended up getting the wireless little thing it would stick on the end on the back of it to get wireless instead. After she finally got bored of me like buying a cable that was far too long, the Ethernet cable, to get into it. So like 20 meters, it racked up outside my room. And just as I was like, she's like, what are you doing? Just trust me, this works. It's going to be fine. running out into carpets and things like that. And then that Xbox one time just died. So I had to send that to Germany, and I got a different one back. And then I just was like, screw it, I'm working. I'm big bollocks now. I work at Iceland. So I bought myself an Elite, I think it was. And then before, as uni happened, then I traded that away, because I got the Gears of War 3 special Xbox, which makes Gears of War 3 sounds. And then I had like three 360s throughout that generation.
It was a time. Yeah, that whole like advancement of it over time, because that was that really elongated console cycle because of the crash, whatever it was, over in America that elongated everything. So the generation ended up being like 9 years long or whatever it was, I guess. Yeah. Maybe a bit shy of that, but it was still a lengthy amount of time. Like at the ages that we were, we changed as people considerably between when that thing came out to when we were moving on from it.
I think that's a really important thing to note as well, because I remember when the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One and stuff was coming out, and it felt so monumental, even though I had lived through console generations. Like you said, there had never been one that felt that long. And the Xbox 360, and I eventually did get a PS3, but almost entirely the Xbox 360, did me for like my entire teen years, essentially. You know what I mean? Like, it was such a big chunk of my life where that was all I knew, that was the focus. So when time came around for the PlayStation 4, it kind of felt weird. It felt weird that we were like finally moving on, because it almost felt like this was going to be part of my life forever, even though games obviously were starting to stagnate and stuff. And now that's kind of weird, going from the PlayStation 4 to the PlayStation 5, because even though it's been like a shorter generation anyway, it feels more natural, I suppose. It's still a big thing, but the PlayStation 4 was still a big part of my life. But like that 360 period, when we're that age, it just becomes part of what you know as a person, I guess.
Well, it's like when I got the 360, I was in sixth form, I was finishing high school, I got my first job, and then like went through both universities, and then like got here all with the 360, and then like obviously the PS4 or the Xbox One or whatever was 2013, and then it's just been doing this job for the last 8 years, and now it's the new system. But like, yeah, the amount of stuff that happened across the last generation was like massively seismic in that regard. We should end on where the Xbox is at right now, because I feel like the last sort of 8 years ish. Obviously, the Xbox One launch, the Xbox One reveal was like the biggest mistake in their history, quite easily. I think they've recovered quite considerably, and now they've got all the Game Pass stuff. They're pushing backwards compatibility quite considerably. Game Pass is easily like the best thing about Xbox. Like whenever, even when people ask me, like, do I get a PS5 or an Xbox? I say, like, well, how much are you going to play? How much do you care about this list of exclusives? Just get an Xbox and get Game Pass. Like, it is a phenomenal amount value for money. And it just is an incredible deal. I think that, like, personally, I would love them to have a way more exclusives than they do. But if you just, you know, if you just want a bunch of games, really good quality games, and you want old school stuff played better than ever on the backwards compat stuff, then all the auto HDR, frame rate boosts, all that stuff is stellar. So I really like where Xbox is at, but I feel like they're sort of quite handily, quite comfortably in second place, or even third place, sorry, because I guess we Switch and Sony. But yeah, what do you guys think of all that stuff?
It's weird because my Xbox One story is so quick, right? I abandoned that whole side. I went back home with the PS4 because the PS4 came out as I moved to London, as I left university. Like, it was the same thing as you, like, 360 gone now, goodbye. And then the Xbox One was out and I paid no heed to it. So I don't care. Mm-hmm. And then I traded a washing machine for an Xbox One
with
my friend, because I just had a washing machine, okay, that I didn't need anymore.
Put it on the counter in game, like, well, that's all I got, so what you got?
My friend came up and drove up the Xbox One to me. He took the washing machine back, and I had the Xbox One. That's how I played Gears 4 and, God help me, Gears 5 with that. And then the Series S, and I would be much like you, Scott, where I would say, like, I almost say to people, just if you can get a PS5, which is very hard to get a PS5, and then just, you know what, if you got yourself a Series S in like free games, if you got them in Game Pass, you're paying that back in some weird mind maths. But yeah, it's the Series S now, and I might get an X at some point just so I can have a disc drive, or I'll wait for the inevitable Gear 6 Xbox.
Playing Microsoft Flight Simulator in 30 frames a second, mate, don't you?
Oh, my friend has a Series S and it's almost unplayable on that, so he had to delete it. But yeah, it's just now Xbox is in such a weird but good place, and I feel like Phil he's found all those old dukes that Bill Gates had. Now he's swinging them around ready to come back in this moment of like triumph, where it's just so much is free on there. If I had a child, I'd be like, you're having a Series X or an S because you could just have Game Pass and go to your room, play it.
Yeah, they're just not gonna be like, well, actually, I want to play the exclusive thing, because the sheer value for money is so ridiculous. Also, the Duke controller is available in the new age. You can get a wireless version, which is just the best thing you could do. Josh Brown, thoughts on the Xbox One era?
The Xbox One era, I think it's telling that we haven't barely even spoken about it, to be honest.
I also abandoned it, like Ben Roy said.
Exactly the same. You know, I mean, I've talked for 2 years now about how the Xbox One that I have is under my bed gathering dust, my Don box. I had no love for that, just various different reasons. I didn't really like the games in it. You know, I enjoyed Gears 4 and Gears 5 a lot, but there wasn't anything drawing to that. Like, my friends weren't on it. But then I got the Series X recently, and I can't believe how much I love that machine. Like, I think that's a really solid bit of kit. I love booting it up and actually getting an excuse to play it, whether it's going back to Gears 5, whether it's playing Forza Horizon 5, whether it's going to Halo Infinite or what have you. I think they're in a really great position now. I think the machine is solid. And like you were saying there, you know, Game Pass is just the best thing in gaming right now. And I think, you know, having reminisced about our past experiences with Xbox and gaming over the course of this podcast, and, you know, how we were when we were younger, when we were kids and stuff, like, I could not imagine having an Xbox Series S or an X or even an Xbox One and having Game Pass, because, you know, like we were saying previously, while I might have struggled to convince my parents to buy me Halo 3 alongside Call of Duty, now you just have access to so much stuff if you do have Game Pass. And I think it's at least it would be to my parents at the time, it would be much easier to convince them to get me this yearly service not pay for anything else. And then you have access to this huge library where you could just constantly be devouring things, and more importantly, trying things you might not have been able to or might not have been inclined to have risked some money on when you were a little bit younger. You know, like, there are so many games on that I would have loved to have played when I was a little bit younger, but would have said, oh, but I'm saving my money for the next Call of Duty, or I'm saving my money for the next Halo. And I just think that's such a plus to the entire gaming world, whether you're a veteran gamer, whether you're someone just getting into it for a first time. I just think it's a great machine, it's a great service, and it's pleased to have them back in a big way. Like, there'll never be an Xbox 360 era again. They're never going to be as on the ball and as relevant as they were then, I don't think, anyway. But that doesn't mean they can't still be doing good work. That doesn't mean they can't still be putting out great competition when they go up against Sony.
I think it would need, because the 360 era was so good because Sony had dropped the ball so much. It was that whole inverted momentum thing where they were coming off the PS2 and then they went sideways. And then obviously Microsoft did that with the 360 to the Xbox One. And then we're in a state now where, honestly, I thought they would have managed their franchises better. Like, I thought that going into this generation, when they unveiled the Series X at the Game Awards and they were like, here's some Hellblade 2 footage and it looked great. I was like, that's going to be tip of the iceberg. They're going to be, here's the new Gears, here's the new Halo, here's the new all this stuff. We've had an entire generation to write the ship. And then I kind of still can't believe that they aren't doing that. Like, they've just managed to just now get Halo Infinite out. And even that, it needs a lot of stapling back together and stuff. So I feel like, but if to the alongside that is the fact that they are nailing all the fundamentals other than exclusives. Like, all the quality of life stuff is stellar. It always gives you the best version of a game when you just put it in Xbox. There's a monolithic feel to that system, whether it's Series S or Series X, that you just, there's a reliability to it where you just sort of go on any game and your save carries over, it's all cloud synced, you could pick it up on your phone and continue for a bit, go back to the console, it'll work. And it's just, it works in a way that the PS5 doesn't and the PS4 doesn't. And it's just, it feels like if you just value video games as an art form, the history of them, and playing the best version of any particular story or whatever, that chances are that is on Xbox just through sheer hardware power. It's giving you the best one, or money wise you have access to all these different things, archive wise all those kind of things. So they're in an incredible place. I just wish they had more exclusive reasons to buy Xbox other than Game Pass. But Ben Roy, some thoughts?
I would just say, when they get around to making nostalgic growing up or coming of age films, it'll be a kid playing their 360 in their, like, in their room, and it won't be the whole, like, someone's playing their, like, the Nintendo thing. I feel like that, for me, defines so many things that I, so many people that I knew, and so much that I end up going in on to like. I would just, it's a weird one. It's such a, I've realized this is the big nostalgia cast, because we're all, we all grew up with it. And I'm glad that Game Pass and the way it exists to hopefully claw some stuff back, because I think competition's good. And I just wonder if back then, when we were all younger, if that Apple video games console is ever going to come out.
if The Last Guardian can finally come true, Shenmue 3 can come true, then dreams can happen. We should end on your gut reactions to this question. Ben Roy Turner, what is your favorite Xbox game?
Gears of War 3.
Shout, Mr. Josh Brown.
Gears of War 2, I think it's going to be for me.
Gears 2 very close. It's Halo 2 for me by a landslide, just because that was the first one I took online, even though I do have that whole big old feeling for Halo 3. It's just, it's Halo and Gears, isn't it? Halo and Gears. I was going to make a rhyme out of that, but it's Halo and Gears all day long. But yes, thank you very much for listening. We've just been a big old men loving Xbox, 20 years worth of Xbox to get to this point. For now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
Oh yeah, goodbye. Sorry. Bye.
Lost in the memories. And Josh Brown.
I was trying to figure out a way to red ring of death my way out of this podcast, but I don't think that works. So just pretend I've shut down.
That's the dark time that we completely skipped over. But we'll catch you all next time. Thank you and goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince.
I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.